Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Daniel Ramirez would be the one to do that today, but instead,
anything could happen.
About to hit the button. That's what I'm saying. And there it is. There it is. There it is.
Oh,
everybody,
oh,
it's Kai. We are back. No, it's my turn. You got to start last time. We're back with Make Me Smart. It's the Daily Edition. Molly Wood and me trying to make today makes sense. Yes, I know it's Molly Wood and I, but whatever. No, it's Molly Wood and me.
Yeah, no.
Me trying to make today make sense. Yeah, it's me.
Uh-huh. Yep, perfect.
Thank God my mother doesn't listen to this podcast.
Or I am trying to make sense. Okay, I'm just going to stop now. We just triggered an avalanche of emails, whether we wanted to or not.
We really did.
Woo! Probably, you know the drill by now, which is where we each bring a news story or 11 and try to understand some parts of them.
That's a little foreshadowing right there.
Wowzer. Yeah, you should know that literally before the music started playing, I was like, I don't know what to, should we just do a grab bag? Like, I'm not even sure what to. Anyway, we're going to talk about some news in some fashion. Then we're going to go to a Make Me Smile. Then we're going to send you all on your way. And that is going to take like 15 minutes.
Bang, zoom, done. I will also say, by the way, it is only there is one Make Me Smile today because I got nothing. I'm in a mood.
Yeah, but this is so smiley that we're all like really.
Okay. All right. Good.
It'll cover us both. You have a chart.
Kai
has a chart.
Just because I brought a chart. So, you know this whole Hong Kong thing, right? Beijing cracking down, absorbing it into the governance of the state as opposed to one country, two systems as it's been and was supposed to be for another 25-something years. And the Trump administration has reacted and it's all just very ugly, right? There are protests and there will be economic fallout. I feel obliged, though, to point out something that I first heard on the BBC like 10 days ago and have since found the source document for it. Excuse me. It was an article in Forbes using data from Vox and the World Bank. It's Vox with the graphic and World Bank with the information. Here's part of why China feels so free to do what it's doing to Hong Kong now. In 1993, Hong Kong was 27% of China's entire economy. Okay? Think about that for a minute. 1993, Hong Kong was 27% of the entire Chinese economy. Today, 2018 is the year of the data. Hong Kong is less than 3% of the entire Chinese economy. So let's not be mistaken here, right? There will be fundamental violations of human rights. It's a huge economic challenge for both the United States and the rest of the world as to how China treats this territory, which is now becoming absorbed. But the fundamental economic rationale is that Beijing doesn't need Hong Kong the way it used to economically, right? They've got Shanghai. They've got Shenzhen and the factories there. They've got all this other stuff. And so that, I believe, is why they feel so free to do this. And I think that's important to note. That's it.
Why not just let it go then? You know, if they also don't need it? Or is that just a pride thing?
Let it go what? Let the protests happen or let Hong Kong just be?
Just let Hong Kong be. Like, if you don't need it economically.
No.
Just spin it off.
No, because they've been protesting for a year plus. It's a constant thorn in the side of Beijing, right? And they said, democracy? No, we're done with that.
Yeah.
Truly.
What makes it difficult, maybe as long as I have you here, what is the difficulty? Like, what is the trade question? Because apparently it was a very big deal that the U.S. came out today and said, okay, well, Hong Kong apparently turns out is not an autonomous state anymore. What does that mean?
Well, so there are tariff, you know. Right. So there are tariff-free zones. There are American companies that are invested over there, which gain huge financial benefit. There are a lot of repercussions for the American companies who have operations there. And also material and cargo that passes through there, right? I mean, let's remember, in its original incarnation, Hong Kong was a port, and there was transshipment. And so that's a lot of what's going on there. I think the challenge now is that it used to be, and still is, you know, today, but tomorrow's going to be a different story, an Asian counterpart to London and New York. And now it's going to be really interesting to see if companies are like, well, I don't know. I personally think that companies and capitalism being what it is, they're going to say, oh, yeah, we still need to be there. That's fine. We've been in Shanghai for 30 years, and look, Shanghai's booming, man. Right? I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's what's going to happen. And so Beijing will have its cake and eat it, too, as it were.
Right.
They'll maintain the foreign direct investment and foreign companies being there, and they will have control, more control.
Right. They're definitely eating that cake. That's for sure.
Yep.
I like pasted and deleted at least seven different stories in literally the minutes leading up to this. And I guess I have decided that the thing that sort of fits my mood the most amidst all is a little bit of a like a cut to the chase moment, which is that there is a lot of going on, a lot of Sturm and Drang and noise and chaff in the form of executive orders and things of that nature. And while all of that was happening, the mayor of Boston announced that for the first time in its history, I believe, the 124-year history of the Boston Marathon, that it would be canceled and that it was not feasible because of the coronavirus pandemic. It had apparently been rescheduled, of course. It always happens in April. It was rescheduled for September 14th. They said, that's not going to happen. Here in the Bay Area, San Francisco announced today that phase 3 and 4 of reopening wouldn't happen until mid-August.
Wow.
And yeah, which hurt. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
And then there's a grocery store in my neighborhood where 14 workers just tested positive. And I think that there was something about that and the 100,000 milestone today, 100,000 deaths.
Yeah.
That just sort of made me go like, this is not over. Like I piled a whole bunch of my Wall Street Journals on top of each other. I get the paper sporadically when they feel like bringing it. technically, I don't subscribe to the actual paper version of the Wall Street Journal, but they just bring it sometimes. And why not? Who has not had this experience with newspapers? Like, you subscribe to one and you either never get it or you can never stop it from coming or whatever. But I stacked up like 6 of them. Right? Just as a thought exercise, a visual exercise. And all 6 of them had on some, you know, in some way on the front page, the word reopening. And now granted, this is the Wall Street Journal, right? So they're gonna, they're skewed heavily in favor of the business conversation. But as George Lakoff would say, that framing, seeing and hearing the word reopening over and over and over, I think is creating a mindset that is confusing us.
Yeah, because we're not done, right? We don't have control, and yet everybody's like, okay, we're good. Let's go.
Yep.
You know? It's kind of wild.
It is. And I think it's like cognitively dissonant. I think it's creating all this confusion. You think like, oh, I'm going to start making all these summer plans that aren't going to happen. They're not going to happen. So, you know, and you're going to want to make them. I mean, I guess depending on what state you live in. But like, it's just so totally not over.
Yeah.
And we really want to move on, and I understand that. But I think I just had a couple moments today where I was like, guys, also the 100,000. I mean, NPR, I will say, did a pretty good job of putting that in the context of like, hey, that's triple the number of people who died last year from the flu in the whole year.
Yeah.
That's more than, you know, the number of people who died from opioid addiction and suicide in an entire year. And it happened basically in 2 months, 2.5 months.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So my daughter came into my little workspace here today, this morning. She had gotten up, as she does every morning, early and bangs out whatever online learning she has to do. And she came in and she said, I'm officially done with seventh grade. Yay! And we did a little dance and whatever. And then she sat down and said, okay, what are we going to do this summer? And I'm like, oh, babe, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not over, right? It's not
over. I think that... I wonder if that's part of it too, is like this, the feeling that like there's this milestone. We're sort of thinking it's like done. And then there was Memorial Day, which is a little bit of a holiday. Mm-hmm. So it makes you think like, oh, we're going to do holiday things, except we're totally not. Like, you have fun. There's a sense of normalcy. And then you are immediately slapped in the face by guilt or fear or concern or anxiety. And yeah, we had our little, you know, I don't know, leaving seventh grade ceremony on Zoom today. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what comes next.
I do one more thing. And yeah, I'm going to make us really sad. And then you're going to make us happy. So on Twitter today, a woman who used to work at Marketplace and who is now in Vermont at Vermont Public Radio, she tweeted this. Today was the day my six-year-old broke. Sobbing in the car, he asked, when can I go in a building? When can I go somewhere fun? I feel for him. He's been home for 11 weeks now. He's been so good and understanding, and he's finally reached the end of his rope. Right? How do you explain this to a kid?
Yep.
You know? Oh, wait, did I make you cry? I was not supposed to.
I mean, obviously.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
You can't have thought that wasn't going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I forget sometimes that you. Sorry.
Yeah, no, dude. Seriously. Like a paper cut will do it. No, I mean, but it's brutal. Right. It's brutal. And anyway, more importantly, it's not over, but we're going to look forward.
We are.
Or at least outward to some happy moments.
Yes. There we go. Okay. Tell us.
I do want to say, I'm gonna steal this. I'm going to actually take this time and offer up too, because I will say that during our little graduation Zoom or whatever we're calling it, just promoting from seventh grade Zoom, they did the little yearbooky awards. And my child was awarded most likely to win the Hunger Games.
Oh, man.
And I don't know what that's about exactly, but as like a prepper mom, exactly. I am freaking stoked. I was like, I'm doing it right.
That's my kid.
Possibly a vicious murderer. I don't really know, but anyway, I was weirdly proud. So this wonderful thing has been happening. Speaking of marketplace people on Twitter.
Yes.
The other day, Kimberly Adams tweeted about her uncle and was like, you know, uncle, what are you doing during the lockdown? She's like, I'm learning to play the piano. And the uncle says, I built Gateway to the Imagination in my backyard. And it has this incredible photos of this, you know, like beautiful door, which she corrected it later. It's Doorway to the Imagination. It's incredible. It blew up like 200,000 likes or something like that. And so then she was like, you got to say, it's like, it's legitimately viral.
That's great.
So then she was like, well, since you all love my Uncle David so much, here he is with his husband, my other Uncle David, who makes an amazing butterscotch raspberry pudding. And it's a photo of these, the two of them together in their matching red flannel shirts, both with their big white beards, just being like,
oh my God, look at that picture. Oh, that's great.
The literal epitome of love and soulmates. And so then if you go and look on, I follow them on Instagram now. They have been together for 30 years. They live on this like beautiful piece of land. They've dug a pond. There's literally a photo of like other Uncle David laying on the ground with a baby duck in his big beard. Just play like it's been everywhere. Kimberly's been getting like media requests. They're on Reddit. Apparently Reddit has a subreddit called Made Me Smile, which we should probably occasionally cheat from.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Really.
But it's, and so I made some comment to her earlier today about, you know, she was like, I gotta like get their address off the internet or something. And I was like, girl, if I am any indication, I mean, like, I will give my life to protect these two and this preciousness that exists. And she was like, so many people have tweeted the same thing. And it made me realize that even though we have bad information habits and we tend to get all negative and we engage with bad things or whatever, all we really want, like the response to these two shows that all we really want is just like sweet, gentle, perfect soulmate love. I mean, it's wonderful.
So we'll call this the Sweet, Gentle, Perfect Soulmate Love podcast. That's the episode title.
Totally.
If Tony's listening. Okay. There we go.
So great.
It's done.
Look at that. Told ya.
We're done. Back to 15 minutes, like almost on the nose. Back tomorrow, live on YouTube. Check that out if you can. I will be having a beer. Molly will be having whatever beverage she chooses to consume. let's see. So we'll put the pictures of the Uncle Davids on our show page, right? And we'll have a YouTube link on our show page, all that good stuff. We do daily explainers on those devices that are listening to you all the time, even though you don't think they are. Today, Molly is on it talking about COBOL. Oh, my goodness. Tune in.
It's big time.
Please.
Mainframe nerds, this is your day.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You're going to love it. I got a lot of angry mail about COBOL. Turns out mainframe nerds are not to be messed with. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. You can fanboy anything, turns out. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Peretz. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and our smart speaker explainers.
Daniel Ramirez, in case you hadn't caught on by now, was in charge today. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and that very same Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And there we go. Thank God tomorrow's Friday. That's all I got.
Thank God. Even though it's a short week, that's like, man.
Yeah. That is kind of the perfect note right there at the end.
It is. It's beautiful.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good job, Daniel Ramirez. Just
carries you into the beyond.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.